97. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for a very, very exciting weekend in the college football world. A lot of good games this weekend. Definitely looking forward to it. Obviously, the big one being Alabama, Georgia. We'll talk about that. We'll put a final bow on it. Yesterday, we had a great time hanging out with Roman Harper. He joined the show and had a lot of good thoughts on it. Again, you can catch Roman this weekend. He will be at the game. Again, SEC Network will be covering it. So make sure you guys check them out there. Game day will be with, Penn State, Oregon, I believe, which is also going to be a really good game. So definitely looking forward to that as well. But we will turn our attention to Alabama, Georgia game. We've talked about it plenty. I'll be honest, guys. I'm almost at the point where I'm kind of sick of talking about it. I'm just ready for it at this point, man. And I know everybody is. But after talking about it all week, man, I mean, I don't even know how much more there really is to add. So what we're going to do today is I'll give my final predictions, final thoughts, final keys. And then obviously it's a free-for-all Friday. That means we want to get score predictions. So you guys are more than welcome to call in, drop your score predictions here as well in the chat. And make sure you guys keep up with that. Because if you do win, we'll get you some cool stuff, signed football and some other things. We'll definitely hook you up with. So make sure you guys drop those predictions. Again, phone lines 205-342-9904 or in the chat here as well. But definitely going to put a bow on this whole thing. And then hopefully, man, we can just get on into this weekend, big slate coming up. And then the only thing that I will say, as much as I love night games for the excitement, guys, we got to wait like all day. The good news is there'll be some good football to watch in the meantime. But I mean, it's going to be a late one. And you guys know what a late one means, at least for me. I know what it means for me doing a post-game show. Again, you can always listen to the post-game show that I do alongside Gray Robertson on the Crimson Tide Sports Network. It's going to be a late one. But I'd imagine you guys are going to be up, right? Because it's probably going to be a close, exciting game, a nerve rattler, you know. So be sure to tune into that. But I definitely will be up and talking football. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that as well. Again, on the Crimson Tide Sports Network, which you can hear here via Tide 100.9 or however you guys tune in via whatever radio station website it is that you can get the Crimson Tide Sports Network. So we will be doing that there as well. I will say this, Reed, man. I mean, I've been listening to a number of different things. I know Carson tagged us in a video from Josh Pate and Cole Kublik. By the way, you guys are always welcome to do that at the Miller's Edge. Follow us on X and Instagram, all that good stuff. But you can send us content, and we'll definitely check it out. We can always play it and react to it, since we love to do that here on the show. But I'll probably end up playing it. But a lot of the same stuff you're hearing, a lot of stuff that we've talked about on the show, a lot of stuff you've heard other people probably talk about. Just little nuances, and this was a Cole Kublik really breaking down some things and kind of discussing some stuff. So we'll probably talk about that because I do want to respond to it. It's a few minutes long, so we definitely will play that here and discuss that. But I'll say this, guys. I mean, I think at this point, I mean, there's just so many, not theories, but like ways this thing can go. And you look at these matchups and these stats and facts. I'm gonna be completely transparent with you guys. At the end of the day, I don't care who it is, what experience they have. No one truly knows how this whole thing is going to go. It could go one way. It could go exactly how some people have said. It could go completely different. It could be a blowout. It could come down to the wire. Who knows? But that's what makes this whole thing exciting. But it's just funny because I know it's our job to talk about things and break things down. But it's just funny because at the end of the day, we really don't know. I mean, we can just go off of what, you know, history says, stats say, the film really says, which if you're like me, you like watching tape. But it definitely is one of those things where it's just kind of funny because at the end of the day, no one really knows but God, right? I guess he knows the outcome. We don't. But that being said, Georgia is about a 3-point favorite. We'll see. We get Reagan on here with the smoking hot picks for you guys that do a little bit of, I guess, gambling for fun, right? Remember, do it responsibly. If you have a problem, make sure you dial that number. I don't have the number on head, but you guys know it. Because there are a lot of good games, and we'll discuss those here as well. In terms of just some quick news that we can hit real quick during this first segment real quick. I know in terms of injury updates, I don't think anything really changed on Alabama side. I believe everything's still the same. Jam and TK, they're going to be playing, right? Might be listed as probable, but those guys are going to be playing, which is really good news. We've talked about what that means and why that is so important to have those guys back, and hopefully we see a big difference both in the running game and our run defense, two things that could be really crucial in this matchup. But from the Georgia side of things, I want to say, Reed, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if you saw this recently, but I want to say they actually have some offensive linemen that ended up being ruled out with the latest injury report. And I had it yesterday, and I guess I didn't save it like I thought I did. But I know initially I think Ernest Green was doubtful, and now I believe he's listed as out. So for a Georgia unit that was showing some signs of weakness, especially in that Tennessee game on their right side specifically, crazy how we kind of mirror each other in so many different ways. They could be in some more trouble up front with their offensive line, given that the injuries don't seem to really be going in the right direction for some of their guys. So that being said, the clear ones for us that clear out, you know, Jam Latham, Jamarian Latham, and Beeman, who's out for the season. Obviously, those guys aren't going to play. But the good news is the guys, even include, I forgot to mention this one too, Danny Lewis, a guy who I don't even think we've seen him play this year. I don't think he was on the injury report week one, but he didn't play. I believe he should be back as well, which you talk about the tight end position, especially in this offense, the importance of it. Quave has been playing some really good football in that tight end spot, you know, helping out, you know, whether it's just little chips here and there. But also, obviously, you know, his ability in the passing game might not have been utilized a whole bunch, but you know what he's capable of. Having a guy like Danny Lewis come back, who is a physical guy, a bigger guy, definitely, I believe, can help you out. So we'll see how much of an impact he can make in this game. But I think he is believed to be available for this game. So injury-wise for Alabama, getting healthy at the right time. Unfortunately, maybe Georgia's not looking the same. That being said, we've got plenty to dive into coming up. But first, let's go ahead and hit our first timeout before we really dive into things. Again, I want to remind you about our presenting sponsor, our friends over at the Good Feet Store. If you haven't checked them out, make sure you guys do so. Midtown Village over in McFarland Boulevard. If you haven't already, man, stop on by. Walk-ins are welcome. Welcome. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. Premium arch supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. They take care of it. So make sure you guys go check them out right now. Goodfeet.com is the website for more information. Plus, you can always schedule an appointment with the nearest location to you right there as well. Again, that is the Goodfeet store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Quick timeout. We come back. We get rolling on this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Time 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. I'll definitely keep working on this. I know we had some feedback saying there's a little bit of a pop or static. I'll keep working on that in the meantime. It's really weird though, because on my end, my audio is clear, but the station's feedback is a little, I guess, kind of like that. Then I guess for you guys, it's the opposite. So yeah, I'll keep working on that, but we'll definitely just keep rolling for now. Technically, I probably could mess around with this. I probably should have done this for a second. Tell me how this sounds, Reed. How's the audio like this?
be honest, it's still roughly about the same.
Is that any better, Reed? The audio?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, I was about to say, I made it so it was coming out of my computer. I don't know if that's any better. But you guys in the chat, tell me if that's a little bit better on y'all's end, too. At least we can try it for this segment if you guys want. But I'll just use the camera audio for now, just to see if that helps clear up that static. It might not be as clear as using the mic, but yeah, let me know, guys, in the chat. Anyway, that being said, oh, no difference. All right, well, we'll go back to it. Yeah, that might be the stream service then. That being said, all right, let's dive into what we got to talk about for now. Hopefully you guys can bear with it, and we'll definitely figure it out probably the next segment here. Or how about this? We got perfect time. I'll go ahead and run the video because we need to break this down anyways. In the meantime, I'll help try to get some of these, tech issues smoothened out. But Carson tagged us in this. Obviously, you guys heard plenty of my keys and breakdowns, and I promise I'm going to recap those and kind of condense them and give you guys those here in a second. But let's hear from some others, because you've heard from me all week. You've heard from Roman yesterday. You heard from my dad several times, right? So let's jump over to, you got Cole Kulick and Josh Pate offering their final thoughts on this matchup. It's a few minutes long, and I thought Cole had some interesting comments, kind of building off of a couple of things that Roman mentioned, right? And basically what it is just to give you a quick idea so you know what to listen to. Talking about the running game, right? Because you've heard a lot of us talk about, a lot of people mentioning the running game is important. It's going to be critical. Alabama has to be able to establish that running game. You don't want to be one-dimensional, right? It opens things up in the passing game. However, there always are, you know, it's not always so black and white, right? And that's why I've mentioned things before, just like Roman mentioned, right? You can use the passing game as an extension of the running game. Quick throws, right sticks, you know, quick flares, using the running backs, and even screen game, you could almost kind of sum up as, you know, I guess extensions of the running game. Because why? They're quick ways to get a playmaker the football and then allow them to make plays, right? Whether they're getting a few yards, could be an explosive, but the way Cole described it, which is kind of true, right? Imagine a screen or like a quick flare. You just literally just, you know, quick snap, flare, running back flares, dump it to them in the flat. Technically, that almost serving as like a form of a toss or a sweep. You get what I'm saying? So while that is true, and you'll hear them talk about it, and I do believe, yes, there is a lot of truth to the fact that you can have success without having that, you know, complete running game. I just still believe, I'm still going to stand on it, because being a defensive guy, knowing what it does to a defender, I still believe that you want to at least have some bit of a running game, right? I'm not saying you can't win without it, or I'm not saying it's impossible, but it, to me, it's just one way to make things so much more balanced and keep a defense true without them just feeling like they can always just ears back and go get after it and really just make you one-dimensional. That way they can play one-dimensional, right? However, I guess there's also an argument that you could say that, you know, playing, you know, the screen game kind of keeps defenses on their toes too, because, right, they got to either be ready to go turn and run or, you know, be ready for routes developing behind them. That being said, let's go ahead and hear from Cole Kulick joining Josh Pate and get their final thoughts on this Alabama-Georgia matchup. Let me share this real quick ahead of this matchup. Here we go. And there.
Heard you and McElroy pretty much all week talking about Georgia, Alabama. We talked about it all week here. There's this thing that sometimes happens. You said this. I perfectly agree with you. I align with you. This thing that happens where people get this idea in your head. Like if you're out.
Hey, Reed, let's do this, because I guess this video is adding fun. I apologize for the tech difficulty. We're already due for our second time out anyways. Let's go ahead and run a break real quick, and I'll try to just speed run these tech and audio issues real quick. When we come back, we will hear from Cole Kubrick and Josh Pate. I just want to make sure it's as clear as possible. So bear with us. I appreciate you guys having patience. But again, sometimes, man, live radio tech, it is what it is at times. It is what it is. So I'll use this time out to really diagnose what's going on, get it cleaned up. And when we come back, hopefully we'll have some clear audio of this conversation. That way we come back, we can also respond to it and get y'all's thoughts on it as well. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors who are shaping
more at AaronLewisMusic.com.
I'm American as it gets.
Aaron Lewis and the Stateliners, American as it gets tour.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season
to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com,
on the app,
or the Tide 100.9 app.
Each week,
we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill,
with two locations in Tuscaloosa,
Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house.
With 95.3 The Fair
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear
and Sports Radio Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC
and online at 95.3thebear.com
and Tide 100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Live reports from our Bama beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton.
Game day picks from the top games.
And this year, special insight each week
from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square.
Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi.
Online
at pearlriverresort.com.
And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
And by Two Dimes. Online
at TwoDimes.club.
And by Druid City Regional Medical Center.
DCHSystem.com.
Crimson Tide Today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art and Sport Experts. It appears that we are back and we are ready to roll. Sorry we had some tech difficulties. Again, chat, let me know for sure if it sounds better, but coordinating stuff with the station. Big shout-out to Reed and Chase back there helping get everything situated. But we both reset our systems, and we're all good to go. Let's pray. So, hey, that's all. Hey, all it is, some Georgia fans trying to mess with the system. That way, we can't get the word out. That's what that is, Chase. All and Reed, all good though. All right. So before we had that issue, we were talking about the video from Josh Pate's College Football Show, good friend of our show, and Carson had tagged us in this. I want to talk about it again today. We're going to give our final thoughts, put a bow on everything, but I want to actually go to some other people, get some other perspectives. And so here we go. This was Cole Kublik and Josh Pate discussing it. Let's hear what they had to say on their final thoughts on the Alabama Georgia matchup.
Real talk here. I heard you and McElroy pretty much all week talking about Georgia Bama. We talked about it all week here. There's this thing that sometimes happens. You said this. I perfectly agree with you. I align with you. There's this thing that happens where people get this idea in your head, like if you're Alabama, well, we got to run the ball for X amount of yards or we're not going to win. And then conversely, I've got games like Penn State and Oregon. Penn State ran for 297 on Oregon in the Big Ten championship game and lost. So it's not like a unicorn of a number out there. But you made the point. You've kind of made it on the show already a couple of years, but it really hits home, I think, this week for Bama, that There are multiple ways to look at them gaining rushing yards that don't always mean, here, Jam Miller, run this ball as far as you possibly can. So take me down the road, just philosophically, of what you think Bam actually needs from the run game, how that's accomplished, how they go about winning this game, if they do.
I think first it depends on definition of run game. If it's yours where you're going there in agreements with McElroy and I, when you see a running back catch the ball out in the flat, that's an extension of the run game. That's essentially a toss sweep. And I think Kalen DeBoer, Ryan Grubb look at that as we're going to get the ball wider, faster, with a better opportunity to get north and south and make a play in space than if we were to toss this thing out there. It also gives you the option of throwing the ball down the field on that play. Therefore, perimeter defenders, alley defenders, deep defenders have to stay there and play other routes. They can't come attack the run the way that they would if you turned and tossed it or handed off on a stretch zone. What people don't understand about this offense, Josh, is that the running back is often the initial read, the primary read, so they can get the ball first. And those are the plays that we're describing. So they don't have to just go turn and hand it off 38 times, 42 times for it to look like they've controlled the game. They're not going to let you play running back in this offense if you can't catch the ball. It's something that you're going to need to do, something that you have to do. And at the same time, Ryan Grubb is not afraid to find a hammer and play downhill. Look at Dylan Johnson late in the year, a couple of years ago at Washington. I mean, he turned into a guy that was running inside zone and duo 15, 16 times a game, going right at defenses because they knew late in games when they did build the lead, he could help them hold on to it and secure it. So this is not a game that I would look at it from an Alabama perspective and say, you got to get to 150, you got to get to 175 on the ground, because a lot of those yards could be clouded in the box score under the passing column, which they were essentially run plays with what the mentality was when they were being called. And I don't go too far out of the way with that with Georgia either, because they're a heavy screen team. And Zachariah Branch has been a much better catcher of the football than I thought he would be at Georgia. I knew he could run, knew he could burn. I thought it would be jet sweeps, use him deep a couple of times, make people respect it. But he's actually a better receiver than I've seen him be at USC. And he's a guy that can really make you pay on those screens. They get great blocking from the tight ends on the perimeter, which allows that too. So that's sort of their extension of the run game. And I would almost count those as rushing yards for Georgia as I would a traditional handoff because of the percentages that they have to be able to go. And they're a lot easier on your quarterback. So both of those types of plays are going to be big for both these offenses in this game.
Do you buy into the idea, because I kind of do, that you probably see a little higher pressure rate from Georgia this game because of the style of team they've played so far, because of how quick the ball gets out in general against the teams they've played so far this year? It may not, I guess I'll say it this way, it may not be the best collection of competition they've played so far to reflect what this game may look like. And so I'll take that. That's one layer of the cake. The next layer of the cake, the reason I ended up going with Georgia slightly in this game is I've seen so many times how this Alabama team, specifically offensive line, just looks like it gets put in a blender from an execution standpoint, from a communication standpoint, from a penalty standpoint on the road versus at home. And if you showed me this magic eight ball view where that offensive line holds up beautifully, not a lot of pressure on Ty Simpson, I probably think Alabama wins the game by double digits Saturday. Because outside, I think they got huge advantages. There may be advantages for Georgia on the perimeter, O versus D. I know there are. Bama, O versus D. I gotta see that happen. I gotta see that functionality happen on the road for this Alabama team before I believe it. How do you think that piece of it plays out?
I think it's gonna have to be orchestrated. I think it's gonna have to be drawn up. And you've listened to the show this week, so you already know the answer to this, but I doubt a lot of your viewers right now or listeners down the road know that there's not a Georgia defensive lineman on the team that's recorded a sack this year. They're tied for 115th in the nation in sacks. It's not what we're used to seeing. Other people kind of thought Elo Madozi would solve some of these problems with being able to give you a little more twitch off the edge and being able to rush the passer, win some of those one-on-ones. So I don't think they're just going to be able to rely on front three, front four, maybe even with one extra pressure. I think it's going to have to be games, stunts. Guys are going to have to move. They're going to show things, get out of them. And Ty Simpson, keep in mind, he's been around there for a while, but the actual game experience is not deep. So environment, different looks, simulated pressures, could those things still be something that bothers him a lot? I think you're probably going to want to find out. Kirby Smart and company going to look at that and say, let's see what this kid's really made of, if he's ready to handle these situations. And if he does, He's got quick outlets. We mentioned the running backs. Quavis has been great at tight end for Alabama this year. And where he could be extremely valuable if some of those things that we're talking about happen is he's great at just giving one thud, one shove, getting a little, slab to the ribs and then getting out there for a quick outlet pass. And Ty Simpson's not afraid to challenge the middle of the field. And a lot of times when you get pressure, it's from one or two places, either right up the middle or off the edge. And if you want to try to go A-gaps on him, he's not afraid to put the ball there. That's not what a lot of quarterbacks in college football are comfortable with. He is. And so you have to be very careful with him attacking you there. I think it's almost kind of the story of the weekend in the SEC is pressure, how are you going to get it, and who all gets it. If you look at A&M and Auburn, it's the exact opposite. I don't think either one of those two teams are going to be pressure heavy in that game. But I think the front four is you have to be very careful with what they can do to those two offensive lines that have kind of been up and down a little bit this year. You go to LSU, Ole Miss. We don't think there's going to be any problem for LSU getting pressure on anybody. But how much does Blake Baker really bring with the quick game and the mobile quarterback? You don't want them to be able to break you down because you got over aggressive and overzealous. And by the way, one of the teams tied with Georgia at 115th in the nation in sacks is Ole Miss. So are they going to get home against Garrett Nussmeier? If you run a twist off the right side, that'll probably be the way. And also, you referencing some of the Alabama offensive line as being in a blender at times. I'd like to know what you graded the tornado that the Georgia right tackles have been in a lot of the times in pass protection this season, because that's got to be like an F-42 with what some guys have done to them.
Hey, really quick timeout. We'll get.
All right. There's a lot of stuff to unpack there, and we're due for a timeout ourselves. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll respond to what Cole had to say, because I definitely have some thoughts regarding his comments on this matchup. So we'll do that. Plus, I want to get y'all's response as well. Do you agree with what Cole was saying? Do you disagree? Let me know as well. We'll discuss when we come back, right? Have this quick timeout. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll be right back.
On the game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of the game, SEC Parlay Pick Contest presented by Brian Hart Construction. We'll talk to former NFL quarterback Hugh Millen. He'll preview Alabama and Georgia from his perspective. We'll talk to Lee Sterling. We'll talk to Brent Beard. And we'll talk to Ray Carnes, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation.
Free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. A small chance of a shower, the high 83. Fair and pleasant tonight, the low 62. For tomorrow and Sunday, partly sunny both days with warm afternoons. Highs between 84 and 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 71 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, Free for All Friday edition. Final thoughts here about this Georgia-Alabama matchup. Again, listening to some other voices, some other perspectives, right? You've heard from us all week, so we're taking a quick little break from that. Definitely will circle back here in a minute. But time to respond a little bit. So we heard from this video again. Shout out to Carson sending us this this video again at the Miller's Edge on X, all social media platforms. You can always do this and we'll pull it up. We'll listen to it, we'll respond, react, all that good stuff. So just my thoughts. I definitely agree with Cole. Obviously, him and Roman have been discussing some stuff because basically he's echoing a lot of what Roman shared on this show yesterday. Again, we had Roman on the show. If you missed that, check out yesterday's episode. It was a really good interview when he was on with us. That being said, Cole talked about, you know, the running game. You know, you hear so much talk about it. Is it that important? I still believe, yes, it is very important. Are there other ways around it to have extensions to your running game? Yes. And he listed those, talking about those quick flares, quick little, you know, outlet passes, you know, just dumping the ball off, quick stick routes, things like that, that can pick up that, you know, little chunk yardage that's almost equivalent to running the football. So I definitely agree with him on that. But one thing that I was mentioning to our YouTube chat during the break was that, you know, another thing that people that he didn't bring up in terms of like the running game, why it's important, especially in a matchup like this, number one, because of the reasons we've already mentioned, right? Keeping the defense honest, right? Not being one-dimensional, be able to have balance. But two, what does a running game do? When you run the football, you control the tempo of the game, right? The clock keeps going. And the other side of that is you look at a matchup like this, Alabama facing Georgia, where there's a lot of expectations that this game will be a close game, could come down to it, right? It's a three-point spread right now on paper. That being said, what is the whole four-minute offense about? That's where when you're trying to control the clock at the end of the game, right, playing keep away, right, you're trying to secure the victory. Well, that's all about running the football. And if you don't have a running game in a moment like that, that could be detrimental. So those are the kind of the things that I think even beyond, and maybe I'm just trying to find counters for everything people say just for the hell of it, for just, I don't know, it's fun. But at the same time, I just know how football is. And those are situational things that require efficient and effective running of the football. And to me, I think that will be important, just like I mentioned, even just like the tempo of the game. That's one reason Georgia is very effective too. When, you know, running the football, they like to do it to impose their will to be a physical football team, but also it controls the tempo of the game. The good news is when you're, you know, a top 10 passing offense in the country and very explosive as we are right here at Alabama right now, you can kind of get away with some of that because, say, you know, they're trying to control the tempo, but even though when you do get the ball back, if you are effective at, you know, putting up points and you're explosive, it kind of, you know, mitigates some of that. But at the end of the day, if you can, you always want to establish it. But I know this has just been a big topic of discussion, so that's why we're talking about it. Even that being said, I'm going to go back to what I said initially. We still don't know, right? I mean, Alabama could come out in this game and rush for 40 yards. That's it, only 40 yards. But have a field day through the air, which I think there's going to be plenty of opportunities for explosive plays in the passing game, and come out victorious. They could rush for a bunch of yards, which we say is a key, but Georgia finds a way to just continue to, you know, say they force some turnovers or whatever, and they still win the game. None of this stuff, like the whole, like, oh, like, and I'm not saying he was saying that, but like the rush for 150 or 170, that doesn't, I mean, I don't ever go off of that stuff. There's so many other factors involved, but just to highlight some of the things that he's mentioned. Then the last thing was the, like, the pass rush stat with their defensive line not having any sacks. My only thing to me is, like, that doesn't really move me too much. Like, yes, it is something to say, all right, I feel better knowing that on a consistent basis, you feel a little bit better about our ability to protect going against a unit that hasn't been as effective, you know, with just a base rush, 3-4-man rush. However, the reason it doesn't move me too much in this football game specifically is because, again, Kirby Smart, my former defensive coordinator, I'm very, you know, well-versed with his defense, his philosophies. He's not just going to sit there and say, all right, we're not getting pressure on the quarterback with the base 4-man rush, whatever the case may be. He's going to dial up pressures. Cole mentioned it, the simulated pressures, the fire zones, right? They're going to do and throw a lot of different things at you. How do we pick up those things? That's what good coaches do. If you know you're not getting home with your base four guys, you find other ways to get pressure on the quarterback, right? Bringing safeties, backers, whatever the case may be, cross dogs, right? Field pressures, cat blitzes. There's going to be a lot of different things, and it's not just going to be obvious. Georgia does a really good job of disguising and getting in and out of things, showing different things, showing shell looks before and getting into different coverages. I don't think we've really had a true test with that. I mean, Wisconsin, you know, they might have done a little bit, right? They brought some pressure in there, but the way Georgia does it, right, there's different ways of doing it, and Georgia does a really good job at that. That being said, I'm curious to see how number one, our offensive line. Pixton holds up with those things, right? Jam being back, helping, you know, with, you know, pass pro there is going to be big. But can our offensive line communicate and execute effectively when they do face pressure like that to keep Ty clean? Because if they do, I definitely think we do have a big game through the air. So just some things just to hit on, but I wanted to respond. If you guys have any thoughts, we'd love to read them. You can always drop those in the comments, plus respond via the phone lines. 205-342-9904 is the number. We're about due for our top hour breaks. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling, keep on responding. I still have to give my final keys and final outlook predictions, all that, so be tuned for that. I will get to that. Again, I just wanted to jump to a couple others since we hadn't had a chance really to hear from many other people just yet. And we'll keep on rolling on the other side of this quick top hour break right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. Don't forget, drop your predictions. You can do it right here on YouTube in the comment section. You can download that Tide 100.9 app and leave your score predictions right there as well. Plus, you can always call in 205-342-9904 and leave your predictions right there. Chance to win a signed football and some other good stuff. So make sure you guys get in on that right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
AM WTBC 10K payday giveaway. Win cash every weekday 8 to 5. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 209. That's 209. The code is 209.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app. Click on that win cash button for your chance to win $10,000.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Dan Beyer.
Europe leads Team USA 3-1 after the morning matches at the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black. Europe actually jumped out to a 3-0 lead. And then Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele put the lone point on the board for the Americans as they edged Robert McIntyre and Victor Hovland 2-up. Afternoon four-ball matches just getting underway at Bethpage Black with President Trump in attendance. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels has been ruled out of their matchup against the Falcons coming up on Sunday. He was not cleared by doctors as he missed week 3 because of a knee injury. Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin not playing against Atlanta as well. He's out with a quad injury after not practicing this week. The Vikings won't have quarterback J.J. McCarthy or linebacker Andrew Van Ginkle for their game in Ireland against the Pittsburgh Steelers, while the Bills have the Saints coming to town on Sunday, but their defense will be without defensive tackle Ed Oliver and linebacker Matt Milano. Both have been ruled out against New Orleans.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. We just broke down that clip from Josh Pate's College Football Show, Cole Kublik and Josh Pate talking about this game. Josh Pate, by the way, leaning towards Georgia in this matchup. I'm not sure if Cole ever said his prediction. It might be like Roman, right? He might be saving it, which is fair, right? That being said, I know somebody also mentioned in the comments that a lot of people are kind of leaning towards Georgia. I mean, look, they've got a home field advantage, right? You saw that they're coming off of a big win on the road over a Tennessee team that started the game really hot. Then obviously Georgia adjusted and you know, fixed some things. But 33 game home streak that they have right now. Look, there's a lot of things in Georgia's favor, but I will say I do believe it's going to be a really good game. I feel like even though you do see a lot of people picking Georgia, there's a lot of reasons to believe that Alabama has a really good shot and should be confident going into this matchup. Roman listed a lot of those things, and he hinted, again, couldn't give his prediction, but he hinted at who he's riding with, and he's definitely staying close to home if you guys are picking up what I'm putting down. That being said, let's jump over to the phone lines real quick because I know we got Pat on there, 205-342-9904. Pat, welcome in. What you got for us?
Hey, man. I wanted to talk about Xavier Crowell. Have you seen his stats so far this year through the first four games? 700 plus yards in the first four ball games. But and some of them he's only been playing a half, but just absolutely phenomenal. And to be able to get him and AK Deere in the same backfield in the future, I'm almost beginning to salivate. What do you think?
I'll be honest, Pat, I don't keep up with recruiting like that, so I had no idea with his stats. But sounds like he's a really good player if it's the back that we landed or had committed to us during the summer. I remember watching his tape. He's really impressive, and I think he actually, like, reclassed. But, I'm excited for it.
He's supposed to be younger. I mean, phenomenal that he said he's doing that well, It's just amazing.
If he can help our running game out, I'm excited.
But the problem is, we've proven that we can recruit two running backs, but we ain't proven that we can recruit a cotton picking offensive tackle and three or four defensive tackles to rotate in and out. We just hadn't proven that yet.
I agree. I was going to say that, to be honest with you, man, as great as it is to get these good backs, I feel like we've been getting really good running backs. That's not really moving the needle for me. I'm with you 1,000%. I think we need to get elite offensive linemen. Like, not knocking the young man. I'm excited about a really good running back. I always take good backs, but I just think we're due for some elite offensive linemen via recruiting or even if it comes in the portal. I don't even care at this point. I want us to get back to having that stone wall in the front there. You just know, man, our offense line is going to go out there. They're going to impose their will. Right.
And we are due for two really, really outstanding defensive linemen. People that can get 8-10 sacks a season or better. I'd like to see them average a sack a game.
You're right. Just trench play in general. Speaking of trench play, what do you think about it in this game? How do you feel this game goes, Pat?
I'm beginning to think that a lot of the suits in Vegas have everything's changed and it looks like they're trending toward making this a 3-point ball game. Half a point's been shaved off so far off the line, from what I understand. And I really think that if they can keep Ty upright and give him at least 4 seconds to survey the field, he's going to pick them apart, because I don't think that their defensive backfield can play with our skill position receivers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think the key, and one of the main keys in this game is keep Ty clean, protect him, and let him work, man. He's been cerebral. We already know the skill guys that we have, man. I mean, arguably one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think that'll be big. And then defensively, man, we got to bow up. We got to be physical. And I know a lot of people, and I've even mentioned, are focusing on, being physical up front. And yes, I do agree. We need to have a defensive line that is physical, because they're going to try to run the football. They're going to test us. But I'll even take it a step further, Pat. I think tackling in general can be a make or break in this football game. Here's why. Georgia has a heavy screen game. I've been talking about it, right? And so even if, say, we're doing decent up front, stopping the run, right? If they start going to their screen game and we're weak coming and forcing the issue with our secondary and they're just picking us apart, we have a lot of missed tackles and they're picking up extra yardage and moving the football, I could see that being an issue. And tackling has been much better, but in week one, it was extremely poor. And if we revert back to our old ways and we're not tackling well and physically, I see that being a huge issue in the game. So I think tackling in general defensively, man, we got to be able to bring guys to the ground, make open field tackles when they do work the perimeter on those screens, and make sure we're getting off the field on third down. I think all those things would be really important for our defense.
Absolutely. But like I said, getting off the field and third down. But if they can keep Ty upright, I really don't think that Georgia's defensive backs can stay with our skill position players. I mean, like you said, that hey, this is one of the finest groups we've ever seen put together at any one point. I'm anxious to see Horton being able to get the ball, get 5 touches in open field. If Horton gets 5 touches in open field, I think he'll turn it into 2 scores. What do you think?
I would probably lean more towards Ryan or Bernard being that guy. Horton doesn't strike me as more of like that. Are you saying more of like a deep vertical threat, or are you just saying an open field in general? I'll be honest with you. Horton's that bigger body.
No. If he gets an open field in general, I mean, he's so big and so strong that I really think that he's going to be able to break tackles from those little weak D-backs that Georgia has.
Yeah, respectfully, he would probably be one of my – I wouldn't pick him as that guy. I would say Ryan is more of that playmaker to really, give the football in space with a screen game, stuff like that, and just let him work, just knowing his, after-catch ability. But, hell, you could be right. I view Horton more as that big body guy, deep ball type of threat, or, 50-50 type guy.
Hey, but, being able to go up and high point the ball – I just wish he could high point the ball like that running back we had out of California out there a couple of years ago that had so much trouble staying out of Coach Saban's doghouse. And always acted like he wanted to go home to Antioch. He was from Antioch. You think somebody from Antioch had to be more biblical than that? Come on.
You said a receiver from Antioch, California?
Yeah.
I have no idea who you were.
Our 5-star running back that caught the ball out of the backfield so much. I'm having a senior moment coming up.
Najee Harris?
Najee Harris, there you go. 5-star running back, Antioch,
California.
No, I
thought you said receiver. That's why I was confused. I was like, I don't remember a receiver. You said a running back.
He could go up and high point the football. But, I mean, he was a real good receiver out of the backfield.
Yeah, he was.
Very good.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, my buddy. You have
you
a blessed
afternoon. You want to give us a score prediction before you go,
Pat? Yeah, a score prediction? Oh, I got a score prediction. I got us 35-24. We smoked her butt. And I got a theme song. When you go out this afternoon, have Chase play "The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia."
The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. Oh, man. So Pat's coming with some confidence. I'll be honest,
yes,
not
sir.
By the title, but I'm sure I've probably heard it before. I mean, I like the name of it. The name sounds very fitting.
The night the lights went out in Georgia, the night they hung an innocent man. That's the lyric from the song. But it was the night that the lights went out in Georgia.
Whoa, you said the night that, whoa, hold on. Maybe I misheard you. I don't know. Definitely not playing that crap then. All right.
This country song. Night they hung an innocent man.
Okay. Yeah. That's our key. Yeah, we got to hit a timeout, Pat. Yeah. We appreciate it, man.
All right. Hey, you have a blessed day.
It's gonna be all right, we're gonna be fine, and we're gonna smoke Georgia, no doubt. Let's hope we do that for sure. Pat, we appreciate you, man. You have a great weekend, brother. Good deal. Wow. Sometimes you just never know what you're gonna get on live radio sometimes. So Chase, Reed, we are not playing that crap. We are not playing that song. We're not about to get our show canceled.
Don't tonight.
I mean, can we? Thank you. Can we not get canceled the day before Georgia, please? I mean, Pat, brother, do you not see me, Pat? Sometimes these people might forget who I am. Pat, brother. I mean, I joke about being the 54% white thing, but Pat, come on, Pat. All right, we got to hit this timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon, a small chance of a shower, the high 83. Fair and pleasant tonight, the low 62. Tomorrow and Sunday, partly sunny both days with warm afternoons, highs between 84 and 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
You're on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. I guess everybody in the chat knows about that song Pat was referencing. Maybe one exactly. I was going off what he said, but I was confused. I never really heard it. Now Judy said, people are saying it's not really what he was describing. They said they actually played it after beating George in the blackout game. Which, again, that was, what, 2008? So I was 12, I guess. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't really remember that. I wasn't, like, a diehard Bama fan at that time. So, like I said, I'm learning everything. I guess I learn new things every day. That's interesting. I don't know. So maybe it's not as bad. I don't know. I was trying to read the lyrics. During the thing, I mean, it does mention the H word in here. I don't know what it's talking about, but allegedly it's more so about the wife stepping out or something like that. Who knows, man? Who knows? I'm like, it's like sparking my curiosity though, Reed. Now I'm like, damn, I kind of want to like hear it, but at the same time, like, I don't know. Maybe it's not that bad anyway.
Yeah, like I hadn't heard of it, but it wasn't just you, like. Pat, I guess just the way he described it wasn't the best approach.
Did it not sound like what we were thinking it sounded like? I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I was like, me and Chase both in here were like, whoa, wait a minute now.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa. I'm like, listen, I ain't trying to get canceled on the Friday before the Georgia game now, because, I mean, obviously, you got to be careful. Matter of fact, I mean, I'm not diving into this right now, but, I mean, I'm not even going down that road. But you already know. Nowadays, you got to be real careful with stuff, man, especially when you are on a platform, for sure, right? I mean, people say whatever behind closed doors, but we're on live radio. So just trying to be careful. That being said, according to the chat, and thank you, chat, we always have great folks in the chat that help break stuff down. But they said it's more so about the wife stepping out on a husband. I think that's more. See, if Pat would have said that, I would have been like, oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, I mean, obviously that's terrible, but boom. But his depiction or breakdown of what that song was, I was like, whoa. Definitely not playing that on here. But anyway, yeah. So now, okay. So that song, Pat is just that whole song is like taking over the chat. Everybody discussing that. Don't worry, I'm gonna listen to it during the break, not live though, and just at least hear it for myself. Back to football, like LK said. All right, so I guess it's time for me to give you guys some of my main keys here because we got plenty of time, and I've already discussed them. But just to kind of put a bow on everything, and I guess we'll start here. Chase Reed, from our defensive standpoint, first and foremost, we already know, let's get the main thing out of the way, establishing the line of scrimmage, being physical, right? Knowing Georgia is a football team that wants to impose their will. Knowing Georgia is a football team that wants to run the football. Hadn't been as effective at it as they probably would like over the last year or two, but this year, I would say it's decent so far, right? Not at that elite level like they probably would like. But I will say, if you go back in that Tennessee game, they had, you know, a series of plays. I forgot the stat. It was like out of like 13 plays on a drive. I mean, 12 of them were running plays, and they were effectively running the football against a Tennessee front that looked pretty dang good in that matchup. So I will say, I think they definitely are trending the right direction with their running game, and that's something that they really want to do. Mike Bobo is a very balanced type of coordinator, right? They want to establish that running game. But what comes after that? They run a lot of screen game, right? They're honestly, a lot more than people probably realize. So that being said, my next key, and I mentioned it earlier, tackling. You've got to have good tackling in this game, right? And especially when it comes to tackling on the perimeter, tackling in space. Going back to week one, I get it. We've been starting to kind of form a different opinion about week one and saying, hey, that was then. But still, in that game, there was really poor tackling, lack of physicality. I showed the clips of guys running, just kind of putting their shoulders around, you know, arm tackling. Can't do that in a game like this, right? You've got to secure the tackle. You've got to have good pursuit, especially in the screen game. Guys turning, getting out the stack, that's what we call it, you know, with the defensive line. As soon as you recognize screen, you plant your foot, you redirect, and you go swarm to the football. It sounds like Kane Womack has been, you know, really doing a good job trying to emphasize that over the last couple of weeks. So hopefully that shows up in this game, because defensively, that's what you're going to see. They're going to try to run the football. You got to bow up. They're going to hit you on the screen game. Right? Defense line's got to turn and get out the stack. The DBs, they've got to be physical in that support. They've got to attack the receivers that are on those blocks. You got to have guys coming at good angles, right? Safety play has to be good. That's going to be important. My next key for our defense, of course, I always say it's going to be concise, but you guys know me. I don't do that. I like going in depth for you guys. Next thing, Gunnar Stockton has been a much better passer than a lot of people truly believed coming into this season. So that's there, obviously. But what is he really good at? He's good at using his legs to make plays, not, you know, a dynamic athlete by any means, but he understands how to use his legs to make plays. Whether it's quarterback design runs, he's actually the third leading rusher on this football team with 100 and some yards on the ground right now. That's something to consider. Not only that, scramble drill, right? If you are getting pressure on him, right? We hadn't always finished well on the quarterback. That needs to be better, because a guy like this can extend plays with his legs. Similar to kind of what you saw to Lenore Sellis last year at South Carolina, a guy that will extend things, can pick up extra yardage, first downs, if you allow him to do so. That has to be cleaned up in this game and will be a big key as well. And then I would say lastly, turnovers. We need those turnovers to show up. In big games like this, you've got to be able to steal possessions. We saw them come up, you know, Bray Hubbard having multiple interceptions a week before against ULM, having some guys force some fumbles, right? Justin Jefferson coming up with interceptions. So I think that puts that at what, three the game before that, so like five total after, I don't think we forced any in week one. So that needs to continue, and I think we'll be decent. I didn't mention necessarily getting pressure on the quarterback. Obviously, I think that is a big key. So I will just throw that in there. I just didn't want to have a million things, but here we go. Pressure on the quarterback, obviously. But in this game specifically, they've shown weakness, Georgia, that is on the right side. I would love to see us exploit that. Try to get as many opportunities for our best rusher, whether that's Yonte Pierre has been looking a lot better, but Quay Rousseau showed some really nice explosiveness on that sack against Wisconsin, maybe even running some pressure, some things over there to really stress those guys. I would love to see that show up in this game. Moving on to our offense. I still would love to see us establish a running game so we're not one-dimensional. However, I understand that we have a very explosive offense, and I think there are going to be a lot of plays to be made downfield. But how do you get to that? Well, you've got to protect the quarterback, right? That's the most important thing. Doesn't matter how good you are passing the football if you don't have the time to do so. That will be big. They've talked about all the key or the, I guess, the stats for Georgia's defensive line. That's great, but just know offensive line play is going to be important here also with the pressures that we're going to see. And not just them, but even Ty. How does Ty respond to these things? Even pre-snap, are we able to get the right things called? Be on the right page. That way we can pick up these pressures and have the time to throw the football. I think that'll be key in this game. I think Ty is going to, I think he's going to have a really good game. I honestly do. But I do see, you know, sometimes that, hey, if Georgia is pressuring and affecting them, hopefully we see him growing from week one and understanding that, all right, we can have a negative play, next play, move on, and not let it affect us too much where we get out of a rhythm and things start going downhill. I think that will be big as well. So Jam Miller's coming back. Hopefully that's a, you know, a big plus there. Obviously you expect it to be, but hopefully it definitely makes a big difference. I know it will more so than just on the field, but just having him in general. If you go back and watch some of the plays he made last year's game and his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, pick up blitzes, his physicality and his leadership, man, super fired up to have him back. And then I'll even say this, man, explosive plays, we got to make some of those. We got to have them. In these games like this, when it comes down to it, you're going against a really good defense. You got to have those big explosive plays. So Ryan Williams had a big game coming back. We need to see that. You know what you're getting out of Jeremy Bernard, Mr. Reliable. But I would love to have Ryan Williams show back up and be himself, do the things that we saw him doing last year's game. And then overall, keys, and I'll end with this to put a bow on it, right? Sorry, this went way longer than I anticipated, right? Scoring points in the red zone. And not allowing them to score points, like little things like that it's going to be huge, right? When you're playing good football teams, being able to keep them out of the end zone and hold them in 3 points will be big. So having our defense able to bow up, I think, will be important. Special teams, I talked about this earlier in the week, but you got to remember, right? They're going to have good plays defensively, right? We're not just going to be punching all these points that you've seen the last couple of weeks. Can our kicker show up? The field possession game, all those things. We gave up a touchdown on kickoff last week. You got to secure those things. All those little plays and details matter and they come up. And personally, I feel like it's going to be one of those games where you look back and it's going to probably come down to just a couple of plays in this football game. So you got to be able to capitalize on everything when it comes your way. So those are my main points, which I've probably covered every little thing that you could probably imagine in a football game. That being said, I do think it's going to be one of those games where it comes down to it. Who can finish? And that might be like my final and biggest key, guys. We already know the whole traveling on the road thing. I can't say anything about that other than just challenge them to show up and play with travel with that mentality and intensity that they've had the last 2 weeks, even though that was at home, do it on the road here. That's going to be big, obviously, being disciplined, but really finishing 60 minutes, right? You got to have a 60 minute game in a situation like this. Last year, we started out hot. Everybody was excited. You jump all over these guys, and we had a coming out party in the first half. What happened in the second half? Georgia adjusted. They figured things out. They damn near really should have beat us, really, right? Outside of a couple plays, Ryan Williams, you know, making some magic happen and a couple other things happening. But I say that to say, you're already behind the eight ball going to their place. They're going to have the momentum. They're going to have the crowd environment, man. You got to be ready to go. You got to be disciplined. You got to be ready to play 60 minutes in this game. Because best believe, even if we start hot, which I should have mentioned that too, that's another big thing. I think we need to really start fast in this game. You can't get ahead of yourself. You can't be complacent. You got to be ready to go down to the wire until that clock hits zero. Because you're playing a really disciplined football team, really good coached football team that has already displayed the ability to play 60 minutes in a game, just like we saw them go do against Tennessee. Now imagine them being at home and having that advantage as well with it. So it's going to be a dogfight for 60 minutes, but I think if you can do as many of those things, the million things I just mentioned, if you can do as many of those things as good as possible, as well as possible, and execute, I think we'll be good. I'll save my prediction towards the end because we still got a few more minutes, but that's my overall picture on this game. Now, again, that was way more than a concise thing, but we made it through. We made it through. So it's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm also looking forward to getting a sip of this water. So let's go ahead and take this time out. When we come back, I want to go to you guys again, 205-342-9904. I want to get y'all's predictions, y'all's thoughts, y'all's keys, all that good stuff. We'll keep on rolling right here as we keep getting you guys ready for the big matchup. Again, Alabama traveling to Athens for a night game tomorrow. Blackout. whatever that really does for them, right? Let me ask this real quick. Do we ever have like a whiteout, crimson out? Do we do stuff like that? Reed, Chase, you guys know? Chat, anybody?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, I think that'd be great to know, but I don't know. I've always just gone there and just screamed as loud as I could, you know?
Yeah, I was just always playing and then not playing. I'm broadcasting and doing other stuff, so I've never really paid attention to it, but I'm curious now. I know basketball does it. Basketball does like the, I think they'll do a whiteout for basketball. I don't know. I guess football is not. I guess we're too bougie for that football. I don't know. All right, let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your
options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy, hims.com/joy.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so for our radio listeners, I just got to give you guys a quick update. All right, so we reviewed the play, and there was no flag on the play, right? And I'm referring to Pat was talking about that song. So I think Pat's description just kind of threw a lot of us, at least, you know, some of the younger folk, me, Chase, and Reed, right? Look, we're young, right? No, and I'm saying that. I got to stop with the, sounds like I'm going after our older folk. I'm just saying, like, we don't know all these songs, stuff like that. So that description, we were like, whoa. But after reviewing it, we watched the music video. It's actually very, very creative. It reminds me of this show that I used to watch that was really good. It was it was like a crime series, but it was like filmed in like the 80s, man. I loved it, man. I love like that old school kind of vibe to it. Twin Peaks. Anybody seen that? Reed, Chase, I don't even think you probably, unless you, it was on Netflix. I'm not going to act like I was like, oh man, I used to watch this, but I watched it a couple years ago. Have you ever heard of that, Twin Peaks? It's like a old crime series.
I think I've heard of it, but never, I don't think me or Chase, either of us have watched it.
Yeah, bro. It's a good show. Anyway, that kind of gives me that vibe. Like just like the music video for the night that the night the lights went out, like it kind of just gives me that vibe. It's like that old school crime kind of vibe. I don't know, so I kind of like it. So that being said, Pat, my bad, brother. Your description was a little off, but it's all good, man. All good. No, and I'm not talking about Twin Peaks the bar. Relax. See. Hold on. No, Dwight said in the chat if I was talking. No. Twin Peaks is a TV series. It's like a 80s like crime series, but really, really good show, man. All right, let's get back on track. All right, so we got a super chat from Superfly. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. $9.99 super chat. Thank you so much, man. And again, thank you for your service as always. He says, I keep hearing a lot of Bama commentators say that our defensive staff has trouble communicating plays, play calls to the defense, getting them out there too late. Is that something you notice? I'll be completely honest with you. So I know several players have mentioned that. So it's not really like anything that I guess like it's like speculating because players have said that. And matter of fact, they mentioned it last year. There's a couple of times like in interviews, they're saying, like, you know, just getting the plays called. It's not like they just said, oh, he needs to give us a play. They weren't trying to say it like that, but they indirectly pretty much said, we need to get the calls a little bit faster. And so to answer your question, that has been something that's come up. But to be fair, to I guess defend Kane Womack or the coaches, I mean, they're trying to with the new helmet communication, Superfly, it's one of those things where you can directly communicate with your guy. And it is on a time limit. You have like 15 seconds or so. But they're going to obviously want to see the offensive personnel, see what they're lining up in. See, before, we didn't have that. So they literally just had to look. You know, you see Kirby on his tippy toes trying to see who they're sending in the game. That way he would know who to, what personnel we were going to. Then he's trying to call a play. Then we just had to, we were going off of signals. And so you had to have a little bit more urgency because there was no communication. I feel like sometimes maybe with the new stuff, sometimes you maybe get a little carried away because he's probably thinking, all right, I'm trying to look and see who they've got coming in, what they're lining up in, right? And so he's probably trying to get like the most perfect call as possible. And maybe that's why he's dragging it a little bit and it might be a little too long. But that's something that they can clean up really easy. I mean, it's just a matter of players, you know, obviously discussing that with them, which I'm pretty sure they will or they've had. And he's got to just make sure he's getting it in on time. But then it's on the players, right? Because the process is, even like when we used to do signals, the process would be the coordinator signals in, right, to like the mic or the linebacker who's, you know, going to be in charge of communicating that with everybody. Now, granted, everybody's supposed to look and get that as well, but it's supposed to be him relaying everything, but you're still expected to also get stuff yourself and not just rely on one guy. But to answer your question, yes, that has been an issue, right? Calls coming in a little late and they just got to clean that up. That's important. But with the helmet communication, it's like on one hand, it should be way faster because you literally are directly communicating to a guy, you know, through a voice channel. So it's not like the guy has to squint and get every little sign that you're doing. You're just telling him what he's doing. But I also feel like part of it is probably because like you're a little too confident knowing you have that voice channel. So you're trying to wait to get as much information as you can. So yeah, I mean, I'm not going to drag this answer out too long because it's probably not that complicated, but that's personally how I feel, what I feel like is going on. And I feel like this is the best way to fix it. Just make sure they understand, hey, the players are saying, hey, we got to get the call faster. Cool. He just needs to get it in better. But that's a good point. And as a defender, you know, it's important that you have everything because especially when teams are going fast or they're motioning and doing certain stuff, like you don't want to take up so much time over just trying to get a call or a signal when you need to be getting lined up, understanding what you got because rules change depending on formations. It's not just like, oh, I got this call. I'm automatically doing this. Typically, it's like I'm doing this depending on this set or this set. You get what I'm saying? So like you got to have ample amount of time to get the call, get aligned, understand what they're doing or what they're doing pre-snap, because that can dictate what you're doing post-snap. So hopefully that answers your question. But thank you so much for the super chat. We always appreciate you guys supporting us here. Definitely means a lot. So thank you so much. And he responded, he said, that's what I was thinking. It should be easy to clean up. It makes sense, though, still getting used to it. Yeah, no, I mean, man, it literally is just, you know, just send the call in quicker. I mean, that's something he can control, right? And the players control their part. So, yeah, it should be pretty easy to clean up. I definitely think so. All right. That being said, let's read a couple of these other things. We got phone calls. I'm sorry. We need to do that so we don't run out of time. 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up. Ellis, welcome in.
Roll Tide there, Christian.
What's up, Ellis? Roll Tide, man. How's everything?
Oh, everything's going fine. Sun shining. I feel good about tomorrow. I'm not nervous.
You're not nervous at all?
Nope. I know we're going to go down there and win. We're going to bring home victory.
Well, I love all the confidence that everybody has.
Yeah, there'll be people waiting for them to come back so they can celebrate. So
how do you see it going? I mean, if you're that confident, tell me what do you think happens, Ellis? I mean, you see it being when you say confident, are we talking like you're just confident we get the dub? You're confident it's like a 2-score win? I mean, how confident are you?
We're going to get a dub. I'll go ahead and tell you my score if you want to know my score.
Wow. All
right. 35-28.
Fair. You you see it being so 35-28, that's got us winning by a touchdown. Let's just play a fun game. I mean, you see it being like is tied up 28-28, Bama scores at the last minute to take the game. Do you feel like we score, then something like we get a good defensive stop? Or, and I mean, you might not have thought this far. I'm just curious.
Something like that, or open a like a swoop and score or something like that right there. You know, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? The ball on the ground, our one of our defensive players picks it up and runs it back like 85 yards for a game winning touchdown. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Man.
I'm with it. I'm with it, brother. I'm with it.
I'm smoking a beef brisket tomorrow.
That sounds good. Hey, if you got some leftovers, you said you're driving through this way, man, you know where to find us.
I'll bring it to you.
Oh yeah, we might need to have a taste test, brother.
Yeah.
No, that sounds real good.
Smoking on a pellet grill.
You know what? I have one of those too, man. They sent me one when I was playing, and I love it. And it's running strong, man. I've got a Traeger pellet grill. I love it, man. I've made all types of stuff on there.
Oh yeah, mine too. Mine's a Rectek pellet grill.
Nice. Yep. So Ellis is 35-28. So I like it. I mean, that sounds like an Alabama-Georgia score. I'll take it. Well, Ellis, we got to hit this timeout, man. We're going to try to squeeze in these last phone calls, make sure we get everybody on here. But, man, you enjoy that pellet grill? Oh, go ahead.
Ty Simpson's going to have 365 yards passing.
365. Who do you think is going to be the top target? Who do you think is going to be the top receiver for him?
Hollywood.
I'll take it. Hollywood making another strong impact against the Bulldogs 2 years in a row. I like it, Ellis. Be safe this weekend, man. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide. Good deal. We got to hit this last timeout. That way we can get to these last few phone calls. Again, 205-342-9904 if you guys want to drop your predictions here on the show, or you can always drop it on the comment section or on the Tide 100.9 app as well for us on the Miller's Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, SEC Parlay Pick Contest presented by Brian Hart Construction. We'll talk to former NFL quarterback Hugh Millen. He'll preview Alabama and Georgia from his perspective. We'll talk to Lee Sterling. We'll talk to Brent Beard. And we'll talk to Ray Carnes, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in.
Oh, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. A small chance of a shower. The high 83. Fair and pleasant tonight. The low 62. For tomorrow and Sunday, partly sunny both days with warm afternoons. Highs between 84 and 87. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back in this football Friday edition of Miller's Edge. 1230 WTBC. Been reading these score predictions in the comments section here on YouTube. Again, at the Miller's Edge, if you guys ever want to tune into the stream. A lot of confidence, guys. Reed, Chase, I see a lot of confidence in the chat, man. A lot of people definitely confident that Bama goes in. Some people have some double-digit victories, right? Like a 10 or so. Others a little bit narrower. And even some overtime predictions. So I hope it doesn't go to overtime, man. It's already going to be a late game. I got to stay up and do the post game. I hope it's not that, but we'll see. I just saw this too. Bill said, what's up with these millennials? Well, I'm like barely on like the millennial. That's what I'm saying, guys. I'm 29, man. I think that's like barely in the category of millennial. I'm like the last year for that. And then like almost being like, what is it like? What's the next one, guys? What Chase, what are you and Reed? Y'all are what? Gen Z?
I think we're Gen Z. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like the last year of millennial before Gen Z. So that's what I was trying to explain. So with all due respect, guys, if I don't know like some of these old things, now I will say, I definitely heard that song, by the way. I hate to keep bringing that song up, but I definitely heard it, by the way, after listening to it. But it's hard for us to sometimes just know immediately, like, oh, you don't know that artist, that song? No, not off the title, but I've probably heard it before. All right, let's sneak Cedric on here real quick and get his score prediction before we get up out of here. Ced, what you got for us, man? You sounded confident when we talked to you yesterday. What you got for me? Ced, you with us?
Hey, man, how you doing?
There he is. What you got, man? You sounded confident yesterday, Ced. What you got today, man? I need that score prediction.
Oh, man. Hey, it's all love, baby. It's all love, Chris. Listen, all right. This is a letter to my co-fans. Look, we have a good team. And we need to get behind these guys and not have so much skepticism, anxiety. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But let me ask you this, though. You don't feel that some of it, and I think you're probably talking more so to like fans, but you don't think some of that, though, was a little warranted after, you know, week one, how we performed? Not that we lost. Again, I've always said this. Even going back to last year, it's never been just the loss itself. It's the fashion in which we lost. Statistically, if you look at this, Kalen DeBoer, he shows up big in big games. It was the fact that all our losses pretty much came in games that we were favored to win. And then how we played. So that's my only thing. I'll just say that. Again, losing to Florida State, if we played hard and physical, that's one thing. But we did.
Right.
So that's the only thing I'll add to that. But I got you. Hey, but listen, we're riding with our guys. We're riding with our guys.
I get that. I get where you're coming from. And, you know, just like when Coach Saban was here, we lost a lot of coordinators. Some of them, you know, they was told to move on. Some of them was hired on, you know. But those coordinators going to come and go. And I think we're going to lose some here if this coach is going to survive. And he's a proven good coach. He has to have time to get it together. And hopefully his help got their stuff in order, or they'll be packing their hat. You know, that's very clear, but make no mistake about it all. The coaches don't play. Now, as fans, we gotta understand that. At the end of the day, you know, we got to have a nut check. The boys got to have a nut check and say, let's go get it. Let's make some plays out here.
That's true.
And I think they can do that. I think they can do that. I think they're up to the task. And I think they are conscious of their future. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
I think they are conscious of that. That's why they're here at the University of Alabama. I think they are conscious of their future. It depends on their performance.
That's true.
You know.
Well, speaking of performances, how do you think we perform tomorrow? What's your score prediction?
Very well. I'm looking at 31 points.
How many for Georgia?
No, 31 for Alabama, 20 for Georgia.
Oh, wow. So you got 31-20.
Yeah, I got 31-20. I'm going to ride till I die. I'm going to ride till I die. RTR.
There you go. We'll take it. I got it written down, or I'm going to write it down.
So, you know, to all our co-fans and our radio mates and chat mates, let's get behind our guys, man. Let's get behind our guys. And let's encourage them. Let's encourage them. And let's chill spawn where they make. Let's hope they have a good game, man. I'm praying for them and everybody in the program and hope they got a good night's sleep, all that. Hope they get a good night's sleep tonight. And let's rock and roll. Let's show them
what we're made of. Let's do it. Sam, we appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll talk to you a little later on, man. Thank you for letting me talk.
Absolutely always, brother. Good deal. All right, we got to get out of here. I'm throwing mine in there real quick. I'm going 35-31 Bama, but I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I'm giving us the benefit of the doubt because it's my team, but we'll see how it goes. I'm not going to lie to you. Would it shock me if Georgia does take the dub? No, it would not, but I'm sticking with my guys. I'm going to take Seth's advice. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll see you guys Monday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.